Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
The number of grandparent caregivers continues to grow, and while these older adults may be so experienced in caring for young children, some of them are unaware of the more recent safety guidelines, you know, the guidelines that keep coming out all the time. My guests are Dr. Amanda Song and Dr. Catherine Hines, here to tell us about this. So, Dr. Hines, I think that I'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about what you're finding out in this survey about grandparents. I have an 89-year-old father, and he does watch my kids sometimes. So what should parents be aware of when this is what's going on?
Well, part of the object of the study was to try and determine, do grandparent caregivers, are they up to date with some of the most recent guidelines regarding safety guidelines for young children? So what we're finding out with our study was that some things they may not be up to par on. They may not know some of the most recent guidelines. Some of the topics that were they maybe didn't do as well on their survey were crib safety, walker safety, things like that.
Okay, so Dr. Song, Dr. Hines just mentioned walker safety, crib safety. Now, what about grandparents driving our kids around? Because the one thing that I absolutely will not let my father do is drive my kids around, because I'm really terrified of that. Do they know about car seats? Everything was different when they were raising us.
And that's totally correct. And I think what I'll say is our survey was actually done in 2010, which was before the American Academy of Pediatrics changed our car seat recommendations to being rear-facing up until age 2 and at least 20 pounds. So they didn't do great on those questions when we asked them, but I think that's ever-changing. So I think it would be hard for any grandparent, you know, to stay up to date on that. And you're a parent, you know how hard it is to get a car seat in correctly.
Yeah.
For us to do it, to do it all the time, and so I think that's always something to think about.
Well, so Dr. Song, what do we, because if we start suggesting things to our parents, you know, and this is going to be the hardest part of this study and survey for, you know, those of us with kids listening, you say to your parent, well, this is the way they do it now, or the drop side cribs aren't being used anymore. Oh, please, you know, my kids never wore bike helmets, and you know what I mean? They're just going to go at us and say, well, you're still around.
I think this is part of what caused me to want to do a survey. My daughter was actually born, I guess, a few months before we put this together, and my mom said, you know, she'll sleep better if she's on her stomach.
Yeah.
And I said, well, yes. She does. I mean, data has showed that they sleep better when they're on their stomach, but I know she sleeps safer when she's on her back. And my mom, of course, responded with that, well, I've had 3 kids. You'll all survive.
See, that's...
And so I think it is a challenge. And I think somebody had told me when I was talking about this today, it was like they had been told, you know, children haven't changed, but what we know about them have. And I thought that was a great way to put it. You're right. The kids are the same they were when you were raising them. But we know more, and we know better ways to keep them safe. And I think as a parent, you really just have to have a good relationship with the grandparent of the child or your parent, and just say, you know, this is important to me. I really want to know that you're listening to what I'm saying, because this is how I want my child to sleep or ride in the car.
And the parents are going to roll their eyes and say, oh, this is just that new age stuff. So, Dr. Hines, what kinds of things are we talking about? You mentioned walkers. We talked a little bit about car seats. And, you know, what other things do you think have really radically changed that we must remember to inform our parents about if they're going to be watching our kids?
Okay. I think one of the biggest ones, which we've kind of touched on, is crib safety. Dr. Song talked a little bit about kind of the back to sleep and how that's definitely changed since a lot of older adults first parented, and now the recommendation is to sleep on the back. But one of the other big ones that we talked about during our survey is the use of bumpers. So the AAP does not recommend the use of bumpers. They recommend only just a mattress and sheets in the crib with the baby. And our grandparent caregivers that we surveyed were just astonished by this recommendation. They were shocked. They thought it was very unsafe for bumpers to not be in the crib. So that's certainly one that needs to be addressed whenever grandparents are caring for their grandchildren. some of the other things were safe toys. We asked kind of, what do you think would be a safe toy for a child to use? They didn't recognize that things like books. They make books for children of all ages, and it's really important to be reading to children of all ages, showing them the books when they're 6 months old. Things like that are very important. And then we kind of touched on walkers, the fact that grandparents think that walkers help the baby learn to walk sooner, when in fact they've been shown to kind of make the baby learn to walk at a slower pace. They can decrease or increase the age at which babies actually learn how to walk. So that, in addition to the safety issues that walkers can certainly pose for these children,
now,
are the things that need to be addressed.
And Dr. Song, what about things like media, social media, TV? I'm going to talk about a little bit older kids, but first, you know, our parents plopped us down in front of the TV because, boy, that made the ironing for them easier, and they were able to get things done. But now we don't really want our parents putting our kids in front of the TV at little young ages. And what about the older kids and their internet time and stuff? So do you warn your parents, well, they're only allowed on their video games for an hour? Oh, well, why not? It's easy. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think that's a good point. We asked actually our grandparents sample that question, and only 4% of them felt like 120 minutes was a appropriate amount of media time for kids to be allowed. They all answered actually lower amounts of time.
Oh, good.
But I think when I asked the question, they knew I was going for, you know, smaller amounts. Now, in reality, exactly what you're saying. Like, they pop them down on the TV, they may give them, or in like our house, the iPad is a frequent, desirable media object. And I think it's just a conversation. I think you need to think about how much your grandparents caring for your child. Like, if the grandparent sees the child once every couple weeks, if they get a little bit extra exposure at the house, that may be something that the grandparent really just wants to do because the child likes it. But if they're caring for your child on a regular basis, I think that is a conversation that needs to be had. Especially with things out there that are advertised as, you know, being educational media objects, and the studies have shown that, in fact, they actually probably delay development somewhat.
Well, the studies do show that. And now, Dr. Song, what do you also think about food? Because, you know, I know my mother, when my little newborn, my first child, was teething, she stuck her finger in her wine and rubbed it on the back of their on the back of their teeth, and my husband was horrified. What are you doing? You know, and so the differences of those kinds of things, including giving your child aspirin even, but we're, yes, food and choking and the things we do nowadays, how do you talk to them about it? Do you give them little lessons?
I do. And I mean, my husband and I are both pediatricians, so this is something we think about a lot. And so we kind of set guidelines, and like a lot of times our families keep our children usually at our house, and so whenever we're going to be out of the house, we usually go ahead and make up the meals and say, here's what we would like you to feed them. But there are some examples of things that they will want to feed our children that aren't appropriate, and we do have a dialogue about that. We just sit down and say, here, we don't want you to give them that. Like, I think an example would be nuts. I can think when my daughter was one of our grandparents wanted to offer her an almond, and of course I was not excited about that. And so we sat down and we talked about it. I said, no, that's not really appropriate for her age, not safe for her to eat. And we, you know, picked something else that was agreeable to everyone. And when I talk to my mom and she's taking care of my kids, like if she tells me that they're eating a hot dog, I do always ask, okay, did you slice it lengthwise?
Yeah, did you slice it lengthwise? Now, so Dr. Hines, wrap it up for us in 30 seconds. Give parents the takeaway message from the study and survey.
I think the takeaway message is just that while grandparents may be wonderful caregivers, they certainly very much care about these grandchildren. It's just a nice reminder that they need to be up to date. Recommendations certainly change. They may not know what pediatricians are currently recommending, so they need to sit down, have that conversation for the safety of the children and their care.
For the safety of the children, we have to not be afraid of our parents to tell them how we're doing things today, even though they might not want to hear it. So you're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.